Stop goal! And
it's over! They've done it! Evans has done it!
Welcome to another episode of Two Woods, Four Quarters, the Harlequins podcast. My name is Will, and as always, I'm sat here with my cousin Michael, straight after Harlequins' dominant victory over Ulster in Europe. Mike, big Saturday for you. Talk me through it.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I wasn't at the game. I was out in Clapham just having a couple of beers last night with my best mate who'd returned from a couple of years out of the country. Get the call from my coach, mate, you're in the squad for tomorrow, someone's out.
All right, what cool. Sport is this?
Oh yeah, okay, great. We did this in Cardiff, mate. The hockey chat's got to
we're about
at some
60
point.
Seconds into the episode and you've already referenced hockey. That's not acceptable. Just not acceptable. All those new listeners we've got after last week's live show just switched off.
I know, I'm sorry, but poorly. Yeah, so I went out to the quarry this afternoon, watched the first half on my phone and caught up on the way back. And I've just got back through the door. Clean sheet, 6-0 win, and a massive win for the boys.
There we go.
As in the Harlequins, not the boys.
Both ways.
You know, all right. What was the mood like this morning? Bit of an early kickoff.
Weird one. I was on the rampage on Twitter last week, or maybe a couple of weeks ago now, just saying how there's only 5 Premiership games every weekend. They should be able to televise all 5 and stagger all the kickoffs and make it work with a couple of 1 o'clock kickoffs here and there. A 1 o'clock kickoff is actually a massive curveball.
Yeah,
it really
funny,
is hard getting in the ground on time, and everyone leaves it quite late. So then you're on a really busy train getting in. So I got in about 5 minutes before kickoff. So it was fine in the end, but you don't really get all the pre-match hype and build up, and I didn't really sort of get many nerves.
Yeah.
One thing I did realise was just how many Ulster fans there were this week. If you're an Ulster fan listening, I highly doubt there is any, but if there is, I thought they were amazing. I absolutely loved having them at the game this weekend. I thought they were brilliant. They came in their numbers. They brought the flags. There was a lot of stand up for the Ulstermen going on, which is quite a fun chant where they all get.
I did hear a little bit of that on the BT, on the TNT coverage. You could sort of make it out. I couldn't quite work out what it was.
They had great numbers, mate. I'm talking in the hundreds.
Yeah, that's good.
A few hundred. And
all sort of scattered around rather than sitting together.
Yeah, they were grouped around. But yeah, it wasn't one big block like we would get with Quinza when we go on the road in Europe. But hats off to them. There must be a big Northern Irish contingent in London, which probably isn't a surprise given the scale of London. But I'm glad they managed to enjoy a game. A couple of London Irish fans as well, obviously, just
sticking
to their roots with Ireland and coming to support an Irish team. Fair enough. Let them watch some rugby. But no, it was good. A bit different. Before we get into Ulster, though, loads of things to talk about this week.
Jesus.
We have had some Six Nations squad announcements, not really worth dwelling on anyone other than England. The one thing I will say is the Wales squad came out and I was massively disappointed for Dylan Lewis.
Yeah.
He's been brilliant for us. And I think his scrummaging has come on leaps and bounds under Adam Jones. In the loose, he's great. He made that try-saving tackle against Racing. He played 80 minutes in that one. He was colossal. He scored against his old side Cardiff last week. He's brilliant. I can't believe he's not in that squad. I really feel for him. But
hey, 50 cap international as well. It's a lot of caps to then be still playing well and be left out of a squad. It's a lot.
He's not old either, is he? What is he, 27?
That's a good question, actually. Should we do a little gamble? I reckon he is Dylan Lewis, 20. I'm going to go 28.
Okay, well, we're not far apart then, are we? We're in the same ballpark.
We're either
going to be really surprised here, and he could be like 21, like Luke Littler or something.
Well, he's recently 28, 4th of January, recently 28.
Oh, there we go. So we were both, I think you've obviously taken that one, but I wasn't far off.
Just coming into his prime as a front row, isn't he? Late 20s, early 30s, just coming into his prime.
Well, you say that, actually. I mean, typically you would say your prime is your late 20s, but front rowers seem to be in their prime in their sort of early 30s, mid-30s these days.
Yeah, maybe.
Joe Marler and Dan Cole still going strong. No better scrummages in the league, is there? No better scrummages in England anyway.
Dan Cole, still going.
Both of those still in the England squad, by the way, which I absolutely love. It's our own little English bomb squad, isn't it? Those two should definitely be on the bench for me.
Speaking of which, obviously talk about our boys to begin with, and then we'll have a little brief look at the wider squad.
Yeah.
Absolutely made up for Oscar Beard and Chandler Cunningham South. How cool is that?
Absolutely delighted.
And obviously Oscar took a bit of a knock this afternoon. We're not quite sure the extent of that just yet. So hopefully he bounces back and can get back into England camp this week, I'd imagine.
I think they're probably off now, aren't they? Because we know they're not around for the Leicester game, but we've got six lads represented in England this year. We've got Danny Kerr, Marcus Smith, Joe Marler, probably the expected ones. Alex Dombrandt in there too, expected to us, but maybe not expected to some others. And then you've got the two young guns in Oscar Beard and Charlotte Cunningham South as well.
But the show goes on for Danny and Joe, doesn't it? My God, the show goes on.
They're good enough.
If Danny gets 100 caps during this Six Nations, that would be unbelievable. He just needs four stints, two starting, two off the bench out of the five games.
Maybe we're renaming the wrong South Stand. Maybe we should name the Twickenham South Stand the Danny Kerr South Stand. Sorry, Daniel Stewart Kerr South Stand.
Daniel Stewart Kerr, yeah, maybe.
The DSC. Anyway, he's great. I would have him in the 21 shirt because I think you need to start looking at your new combinations, but keep that element of experience around. So I'd have him in the 21 shirt. I'd also have Marler in the 17 shirt.
You go
Mitchell
and Abano either side. You picking Abano to start?
I'm picking Abano, yeah. I like Abano. I think his scrummaging's got a lot better. I think he's good in the loose. He's an absolute wedge as well. I can imagine he's quite hard to tackle. And then at nine, I think I am going Mitchell. Yeah, he's again tearing up trees for Northampton and currently owns that shirt in my point of view.
Yeah, post World Cup, it's probably his, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he'd go well with Marcus as well. I think the two of them would link together really nicely. So
absolutely.
I think that's where I'm going with the halfbacks. Looking outside of that with our lads, I think Oscar Beard and Chandler Cunningham himself will be in the training setups, but I don't think they'll play. I think maybe they'll get some minutes for the England Saxons in February against Portugal at Welford Road, and that'll be great to see. And then the only other name that we haven't mentioned there is Alex Dombrandt. And to be honest, I think the back row is a bit of a lottery. The only I probably can pick is Ben Earl.
Yeah.
But he's at 7 or 8. I don't know. I don't know who's at 6. And then you've obviously got one of the other back row positions to fill. So I just can't pick it.
I have a sneaky feeling that given George Martin's injury, Borthwick will probably look to play Coles at 6. I know he's been playing in the second row a lot at Northampton, but I have a sneaky feeling that he's going to pick that taller body at 6. And I know that we've had this conversation internally, and it actually sort of leads on to my next point about where do you play Ollie Lawrence? He's played all his rugby at 13 this year, although he is starting at 12 this weekend in Toulouse.
And Ajomo, who was typically a 12, is starting at 13. So I think that's directive, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder where the Borthwick's gone. Do you mind just nudging him sort of into the central channel just before? But
give him 80 against the good side at 12.
Yeah.
I need it. And it has to be him at 12. There is no other 12s.
Yeah, but I would be... I mean, if I was picking a team, which obviously I'm not, I would like to see a Pearson, Earl, Dombrandt back row, Pearson at 6, Earl at 7, Dombrandt at 8. And I know that Pearson's played at 7 mostly at Northampton. I know that Earl probably is he's probably an 8, isn't he? Did all his best work in England at 8 during the World Cup, but has played a lot of his rugby at 7. I think that'd be a really cool back row, Pearson, Earl and Dombrandt.
I'm not proud of this suggestion, but Coles at 6 is actually one I could probably get behind because he is a bit more of a second row type.
I have a feeling that's line what they'll
option.
Do.
Yeah. And then I'd have Dombrandt and Earl. And then I think you've got a nicely balanced, almost like when you've got Dino at 6, really. At 7 and Dommers at 8. It feels that similar kind of balance.
Maybe after today, Chandler Cunningham South gets the run at 6. Who knows?
How good is he? I'm going to christen him the Hitman, by the way. In the defense, he just bangs people. He is so good. And maybe that's why he's in the squad. We knew how good he was from his England Under 20 performances. He was always going to become a full-blooded international. Yeah. I don't know if this will come too soon. We've got ridiculous depth in the back row, but who knows? Couple of injuries. That 6 shirt is his for Quinns, really, when he wants it.
Yeah,
Could it be his in the white?
I think he probably got the nod with Barbary getting suspended, and rightly so. Bath should have lost last week at home against Racing if Barbie would have been sent off in the first 15 or whatever it was. So
6 minutes.
So was it 6 minutes? What is it? Jesus. So yeah, they'd have lost that. But yeah, that probably is, I think, where Cunningham South has got his nod from. But I mean, he certainly put his hand up today. I mean, my God.
Yeah, I saw something the other day. I can't remember if it was an article, whether it was some commentary or just a tweet that I read. But with Courtney Laws retiring from 6, by the way, how good would it be to have Laws at 6 still?
Yeah,
he is still on their 6. He'd be awesome in that back row.
Mind you, as we record, though, Northampton aren't going particularly well over at Toman Park. As we speak, they're 23-16 down a man. So
yeah, but with Laws retiring, that sixth shirt is anybody's to claim. Charlie Cunningham himself, cut from the same cloth, loves banging people. Honestly, just creams people in the hit, carries so well. Good footwork around the park, good element of speed to him as well. A line out option. If he wants to be, he could mould himself on Courtney Laws.
Yeah. Any other surprises from that England side? Or England squad, I should say. Any other sort of things that you...
No. I like the selection of Furbank. I think Stewart's pretty predictable and not overly exciting. He's just a safe option. And I quite like the idea of Smith being able to link up with Furbank 10-15. I think could be really, really fun. And what I really do like about this Steve Borthwick squad is that it's just not a Steve Borthwick squad. I think he's realised that actually the way the best teams in the Premiership are playing, Northampton, Bath and Harlequins, is an exciting attacking brand of rugby. And the players he selected fit that mould. So he needs to kind of back that up now and pick those players and play in that way. And we can see how good we really are.
The one that I still am not filled with joy about is the wingers. I know that we were sort of bashing...
Gutted for Caden Murley, by the way. If he'd been fit all season, he'd be in that squad starting.
There's a shirt for him there, isn't there? Oh,
isn't there? Isn't there?
The extra lad, Feyi Wabosso, has got the nod. Looks quite exciting, but obviously quite raw. But you look at that back line and you just think there's a Caden Murley-sized hole just gaping for it, isn't there?
Yeah. Hopefully he'll be back soon. There was sort of whispers and murmurs on Danny Kerr's podcast last week that he might be back for the Tigers game. We'll see. That would be a nice blessing, wouldn't it? So we're going to be missing six. Leicester are going to be missing five, mainly in their engine room, which I think will prove quite handy. And then, of course, Freddie Stewart in the back three. Next week's looking pretty tasty. I think it's going to tell how good our squad depth is. And we've said it already a couple of times this season against Newcastle. It's the best it's ever been. But next week, it really gets tested, doesn't it?
It will be a test. It will be a massive test. And if we win next week, I know we're not looking too far ahead, obviously, because we've now got this massive break between... you know, games of rugby after Friday night. But if we, you know, through in Europe, we're not that far away from finding out who we're going to have in the next round. We could finish the sort of block of this Premiership Rugby pre-Six Nations time in the top two. Suddenly, everything's looking okay without getting too carried away.
I think I would take a 9-6 win. Get those 4 points.
Like a gritty 1-0.
Oh, yeah. The trouble is, no disrespect to Will Edwards, he's not that kind of player to take three penalties and that's all in the game. Actually, that's probably a compliment because it's a Jouet kind of team that we play in. Anyway, three players that stand out for me not being in that squad from our lot, which I feel a little bit gutted for. Finn Baxter, we always felt it was either going to be him or Marler. It depended what.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it?
To do, whether he's wanted to sort of pick an experienced head or look to the future. I think Baxter was a little bit unlucky, but again, England's loss, Quinn's is gain. I'm so pleased he's going to be around next week because the scrum went so well for us this week. And I think Tigers were on toast the other week. So I'd like to see that again. Will Evans, try scorer today from 50 metres. Again, nailing people for fun, winning turnovers. I just don't think he fits the style of play that Steve Borthwick's trying to get out of his seven. He likes those big attacking sevens like an Earl or a Pearson. The only other player that kind of fits the Will Evans mould is Sam Underhill, and he's obviously got credit in the bank. So I think Webb's a little bit unlucky. I'd like to see Webb play for the Saxons, but I don't know how that squad gets picked.
Yeah, not sure.
Then the final one for me, Will Collier had Steve Kitchoff on toast this week. The scrum was just imperious, just utterly dominant all day. And Will Collier was responsible for that. And I'm absolutely gutted he's not in the England squad. Because that leads us on to our next conversation topic, transfer rumours. Yeah. Read a lot about Will Collier this week. I've seen Nick Easter talk about it in a podcast that he featured in that apparently he's off to France. I've read in a couple of different articles that Cast have secured his signature. God, he'd be a blow, wouldn't he?
I know. There was a few things that sort of came out this week. Things that people were putting on various Facebook groups. And we saw a couple of bits on Twitter and all this sort of stuff. And it almost looks like a bit of a sort of signed, sealed, delivered deal, doesn't it? And it's such a shame. Maybe you scared him off in the sauna a couple of weeks ago. Maybe you thought, I won't get the same kind of heat from...
I don't think they wax their chests in France, so that might have to change.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe you go a bit more sort of bare-breasted and hairy when you get back to France. But...
a very Sebastian Chabal kind
of thing. But, I mean, look, we've said for a long, long time, Will Collier is he the best scrummaging tight head in the Premiership? You obviously go through the guys that are English scrummaging tight head, we should say. that 1-2 power punch that we had that season. We won the Premiership with Wilco and Will Collier was just unbelievable. Yeah. And Will Collier has been not blighted by injury, but has had injury trouble over the last 2 or 3 years. But when he's going well and when he's fit, and we obviously had a really good chat with him last season, and he still had England ambitions, didn't he? We were talking to him ahead of a way out from the World Cup, and he was talking about, of course, I've got England ambition.
Of course, he wanted to be in it.
And he was talking about things that he wants to achieve and guys that have come in that he's played with. And he's been so, so good for a number of years. And maybe he's done this a similar thing to Joe Marchant, where he said, you know, I'm not getting the recognition, but I'm not getting the opportunity. And obviously, it panned out very differently for Joe Marchant when Eddie Jones left. But Will Collier's probably just got to the point now where he said, look, maybe it's not in the cards for me. And I play a physical and abrasive position, and my body's not going to last forever. And if that's where I can go and have a couple of years on some big money and secure, you know, some financial stability for my family, then, you know, all well to him. And we'll hopefully watch him, and, you know, he'll be a Stoop legend for a long, long time. 2-time Premiership winner. Yeah. Hopefully, if he does leave at the end of the season, hopefully a 3-time Premiership winner. But yeah, it's tough, isn't it? Because he's just been so good for such a long period of time. And obviously we don't know yet. Nothing's confirmed. We're all just reading and speculating, but it would be a massive loss if he were to go.
It's one of those heartbreaking ones, isn't it? One of our own. Thought he was going to be a one club man, kind of come through our system, won it all with us. And you just kind of assume he'll be around for the foreseeable. So if that does come off, it really will be gutting. And if anybody watched Cass get thumped by Gloucester the other night, I think he'll be crying if he signed that contract already. No. That's not where you want to be going.
Scorer, one of my all-time favourite tries at the Stoop.
Yeah, with the dummy.
The big dummy against Bristol.
Will Collier!
Under the Friday night lights.
God, good fun.
That'll live long in my memory, my lord.
All good fun. But yeah, if that does come off, it will be devastating. But good luck to him. He's only 32 years old, so... Yeah. As we were just talking about there, for a prop's best years, he's probably in it right now, and he's probably got another 3-4 years minimum when you look at the likes of Dan Cole and Joe Marler. So he could make some serious whack if he's over there.
Yeah. Anyway, should we talk about Ulster?
Let's talk about Ulster. Strong team.
I loved it.
Faces, Marler back in.
Yeah.
That was great to see.
I loved
drop out just before kickoff. I would have thought that we would put Lewis Liner straight onto the wing in order to protect Will Joseph for next week, given that
we had that, we had that conversation pre-game, didn't we? We just thought, and it's tough to go from not in the squad to starting. You have to go, you know, you move on off the bench and you come in. Maybe that's how you do it, but there was certainly a conversation, wasn't there? Especially losing Oscar Bid to the England programme. And then you just think, you know, recently returning from injury and a very timely return to injury from Will Joseph as well. You just wonder whether you could have, you know, put Lewis on the wing to start with and just protected Will Joseph's minutes. But, you know, things transpire in a different way, and it turned out to be Lewis Liner's day regardless. But
it really did, didn't it?
In terms of selection, I absolutely loved it. I think it's, you know... we also think, and again, we're speculating here, we don't know. Initially, I was disappointed to not see James Chisholm involved, but then you understand that we're going to lose Chandler Cunningham himself and Alex Donbrandt, and we're going to need Chiz to be the best version of himself next week against Leicester. So you
couldn't risk an injury. Even a broken toenail, couldn't risk it.
You imagine that would have been a rest week just to make sure that you're ready to go exactly when we need you next week. Kerr, Smith, Esther Hayes and Beards, and obviously, say, Cam Anderson dropped out. Riley Baxter, Lewis, Launchbury again gets a little bit of a rest, played a lot of rugby. Yeah. We are a little bit short in the second row. And we also didn't mention yet that we've signed Arthur Clark from Gloucester on a 2-week loan. So he might be involved next week because I don't think he was registered for the European Cup. He might only be registered for the Premiership, but we don't know. Again, we're not 100% sure.
No idea. But
2-week loan, you know, outside of Herbst, Hammond and Launchbury, we don't have a second row, do we? So,
by the way, 2-week loan is very funny, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
How much would you pack? You just pack one suitcase, wouldn't you?
One suitcase.
Where would you stay? Premier Inn?
Probably, yeah, somewhere in Guildford Premier Inn for a couple of weeks.
It's a long holiday.
Just need to bring a couple of pairs of underwear and you'll get your kit when you're here. So
yeah,
very funny. But hopefully, you know, whether we see him or not, we don't know. But it just gives us a little bit more insurance. And obviously, Launchbury got that rest. Archie White makes his first appearance of the season.
Yeah, good for him. And then patient, isn't he, Archie? He's always had to wait for his shots. But when he gets on that park, he always delivers.
And then the back three sort of pick themselves, Porter, Lennox and Joseph. So, and then we obviously look at the Ulster thing in there. The immediate names that stand out are your big internationals, you know, your Kitshov, your Hendersons.
Some big names.
Yeah, Cooney, Billy Burns, obviously we know about from the Premiership. Yeah. Been in Ireland a long time now, and now he's a fully-fledged Ireland international. And then Jacob Stockdale, who was, you know, he was hot cheese.
And James Hume as well. Hume's a brilliant player.
Yeah, well, Stockdale was sort of hot cheese 2 or 3 years ago, wasn't he? He was, you know, the next big thing, and then hasn't quite materialised that way. But you know, they're fourth in the URC. They were going nicely, and it was looking like it was going to be a big old tough day at the Stoop. Pitch looked a little bit sandy after all the cold weather that we've had. Just had to sort of dry it up a little bit with lots of sand.
I went through all the emotions. I went into this game thinking, we're at home. We're miles better than Ulster. We'll get the result. And when we get the result at home, we normally get 4 tries. So I went from sort of utter confidence, and then I jumped on the train, sort of clocked lots of Ulster fans, and I thought, oof, if this lot can make a bit of noise and they get the first couple of scores and get the tails up, it could really be their day. Get into the stadium, loads of Ulster flags and lots of little pockets of Ulster fans. And I'm thinking, they're nice and loud. If the boys are getting really riled up by this, it could be a tough afternoon for us. But we get that first score. We have all the possession. A few sort of misconverted opportunities in the opening phases, and they bite back and get the next score. But from that point on, I think we controlled the game. After their first score, I think it was the Marcus Smith show again, really. He was ticking. He was finding little half yards for people. He was making good decisions. I think that's probably one thing that's really underappreciated about Marcus Smith is his decision-making. Yes, he is electric. Yes, he is unbelievable in attack and so exciting to watch. But he's a really good decision-maker. And just quick decisions like putting Lewis Liner away from a mark in our own 22. No other 10 does that, do they?
No, I know.
And it turned out to be a brilliant decision.
And it also, you know, you mentioned decision-making there, but quick thinking for Nick David's first try, wasn't it?
It really seemed to
switch off and expect the line out, and Andre just threw it in, and Nick's just in loads of space and runs in from 60 yards, like completely untouched.
Funnily enough, we'd been knocking on the door for a good 5 minutes before that, and we'd sort of scuppered both opportunities, and it just felt like we were a little bit unlucky not to get that first score there and then. So we rode a bit of luck there by them being switched off for a moment, and Nick David's through, and he always finishes those.
Yeah. I mean, no, there's nobody in front of him, so he had a fairly decent run at it. But Oscar Beard obviously then goes off after 60 minutes, and then it's just the Lewis Liner show. And actually, we weathered the storm okay. They did score, but we had 2 or 3 more phases of defence where we just slowed the ball up and the ball falls on our side. We win the penalty. Yeah. Scrum looked like it was operating, and then obviously kicked on sort of later in the game. But we conceded the score, but you know, you sometimes expect that when you're a man down. But we didn't seem to lose control of the game in that 10-minute spell.
No, and it was towards the end of that 10-minute period where they actually got their score. Yeah. So we rode the wave pretty well. And overall, I thought, whenever they had possession in our red zone, in our 22, we actually defended extremely well. We held them up a couple of times. Alex Dombrandt, more often than not, was the man under the ball.
Yeah, he was there a couple of times, wasn't he?
He had a brilliant performance today and really put his hand up to start at number 8 for England, I think. He was awesome. Every time they looked like they might fire a shot, we just squashed it. I think it was a really brilliant defensive performance, which is weird to say when you can see 3 tries, and the one towards the end of the game with a crossfield kick was a nice finish by Stockdale, but I thought we were excellent again in defence.
Yeah, no, I mean, the first half it's just that Lewis Liner try, isn't he?
The whole game for me, if you could pinpoint one moment, it is that. You've got Quinns with a moment of brilliance and quick thinking and a good decision. You've got physical dominance by boshing Billy Burns. And there was plenty of physical dominance.
Absolutely ran through him as well.
Then there was the stroke of luck with the bounce of the ball, which at times we had quite a lot of luck today. I think Ulster were their own worst enemy at times. They made a lot of silly mistakes in it, and we punished them for it. And you've got to punish them for it. And sometimes we wouldn't necessarily do that. So We were clinical. We took our chances, and that's why the scoreline looks like it does.
Is it Balcoon on the wing? Just made an absolute...
do you remember Marlon Yard?
Yeah.
On that end of the pitch. And he just looked an utter fumbling the ball and sort of crawling on his knees. And then we
do remember.
Sensational. It was shades of that.
Very quickly, what do you think of Nick Davis' yellow card? I know we're sort of jumping sort of to and from him. What do you think of Davis' card?
You probably have to tell me this, mate. The screen malfunctioned, so the ref couldn't see it in the stadium. So that's why it took so long. The ref couldn't see anything. It looked like a TNT error where you just got the European Cup logo keep flashing up and disappearing on his face, and then you didn't actually see the replay. Loads of time goes by. It looked like the club were told to switch the boards off and on again to see if it fixed it.
Right.
They did that. It didn't fix it. No one knows what's going on. We're all getting bored, getting restless, telling him to get on with it. And then eventually Nick David gets a yellow card and no one really knows why, apart from the fact it probably was, because in real time, it looked like a deliberate knock-on.
He sort of just put his hand up as a bit of like a... sort of, it wasn't like a flinch or like a sort of weird knee-jerk reaction. He just sort of like jolted with his hand. It almost looks like he tries to put his hand away a little bit because he knows he's not doing the right thing, but it just flicks his finger. Luckily, Tyrone Green was in the backfield coming across, so it wasn't a penalty trio. But yeah, it wasn't the you know, totally as clear as you'd see, but it was. But then, I know I'm going to talk about it again, but that Lewis Lynah try, Marcus just takes the ball quickly, draws a little 2-on-1, quick tap, and Ulster are sort of, they're sort of setting up for a 22 or a kick, and they're all a bit fragmented. They've got sort of three big pockets of defenders that aren't really filling any space. And Lewis just pins his ears back, step off the left foot, absolutely bangs into Billy Burns, puts it on the boot, and then it's just a bit of grit. I think it's Stockdale that makes a mess of it. And it reminded me, the bounce of the ball reminded me a little bit of James Chisholm's try against Bristol in the semi-final, where he just sort of comes up with it out of nowhere.
Yes, good shout. Good memories. Thank you for bringing that one up. And then again, to bring up Bristol.
I know, any chance. But then there's, like I just mentioned, Balcooney's one. Lewis is one on two at this stage, 1-on-3. And Balcooney, the winger, just makes an absolute meal of it. And Lewis pounces. Marcus has got his kicking boots on and 21-7 at half-time. And
can we spend a bit of time on Lewis Lynah? Because he's been pretty much all season, really. And that, I think that's largely because of his defence. He's not been all there in defence in previous years. One thing I'll never, ever doubt about Lewis Lynah is his tenacity, his physicality and his heart. He throws everything into every collision he's got. He just sometimes makes the wrong decisions. And that's why I think he's been left out in recent weeks, because we've been playing good teams that will punish you for defensive errors. And we said it a couple of weeks ago before the live show. If you're picking a defensive player, you go Cam Anderson because he's solid and he'll protect you against Louis Rees-Sammet. He'll protect you against Radwan.
Yeah.
But if you want a try scorer, if you want an attacking choice on the wing, it is Lewis Lynah every single day of the week.
Quintessential Lewis Lynah for me was that try he scored against Exeter at the start of the season. Little short inside ball, big gut-busting beat of the tackle, fends off the second row, pins his ears back and scores under the sticks. But
such power, hasn't he? He's got such a low centre of gravity through his hips as well. He breaks tackles.
Power through the core.
Yeah, exactly. He's a really dominant runner. And I really hope he can get some good coaching in the defensive area, because he is an England player in the making, because his attacking game, you can't coach. He is just naturally gifted. The way he carries himself, the lines he picks. And for me, the two tries he scored were a man hungry for that shirt.
I was about to say, they were the tries of a frustrated man, weren't they?
He was frustrated. He was determined, gritted teeth, chased everything within an inch of its life. And he came up trumps on two occasions, and good on him.
Yeah. And then, you know, we get into the second half, and obviously Marla came off at halftime, didn't he?
He did. Don't know why. I mean,
doesn't matter, does it? You know, he's had that knock to his arm against Gloucester at big game, and was just probably, you know, portions of it, I would suggest. And, you know, he's got a big England campaign coming up, and he's probably thinking, well, look, I've had my 40, I feel fit, I'm ready to go, but we've got Finn Baxter waiting in the wings. It just doesn't matter. Well,
also wonder if it's Steve Borthwick imposed.
Maybe just say, look, get yourself 40 minutes, make sure you're fit and healthy, ready to go. And then if you think you're in the right spot, get yourself off at half-time and, you know, come into camp fresh as a daisy. So
bit of an injury crisis at loose head, so he needs Joe Marler.
Yeah. But then the next sort of 10, 15 minutes is all about Danny Kerr, isn't it?
Yeah. He's the man, mate.
Just, I mean, that try that he scored, you could copy and paste that for the last 10 years. It's just Danny Kerr to a T, isn't it?
Sign the contract, Danny.
Yeah.
Sign it right now. And in that contract, there needs to be a stipulation that I don't know. He doesn't need a stipulation.
I wonder who, give him the South Stand.
Name the South Stand after him.
I wonder who his agent is. I wonder if he goes, look, Danny wants to keep going. He probably's got another couple of years in him, but he wants the stand.
Yeah. Yeah. He's fine with the money. He just wants that ego straight.
But then, you know, again, Andre's tries the same, isn't it? It's a quick tap. It's Danny taking the ball to the line. Little short ball. Andre barrels over, stretches out the big right hand, slaps it down, and it's just... Things are starting to open up for us now. What, we 33-7 after 65 minutes? And you just think Ulster are just falling away.
Andre's on a nice little scoring run, by the way.
Yeah, three in three games, isn't it? Newcastle, Cardiff and Ulster.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So long
way that. Great to see him playing some good rugby as well.
Yeah.
And he'll claim the try assist for Lyon's second as well with that massive half volley as well.
One of my favourite Andre Esterhazy moments today was actually the game was effectively dead and buried. I think it was 47-12 or something like that. And they look like they've gone over and scored in our bottom left corner and their players in touch. But after all of it, there's a bit of a melee breakout and Andre sort of holding players at arm's length, a lot of scuffles going on. And you could still see there was a lot of fight in him, despite being dead and buried on the scoreboard. He wanted to pick on them. Yeah. He wanted to really rile them up. He still had a lot of dominance left in him.
He also put a huge shot in on Kitchoff in the first half.
He did. He was nailing people as well. And you know what? So was Joe Marler with a bone crunching hit, sending somebody off. Lots of good collisions today, actually.
Brilliant
to see, isn't it? We're supposed to be sort of the majestic, flaring courage jesters from South West London. No, we're bullying people. We're bullying South Africans. We're bullying Northern Irishmen.
Looked like Treadwell got his ribs like fully rearranged as well. It looked horrific.
It looked like ribs. And then I thought it was shoulder related, the way he walked off sort of carrying his arm. Either way, he took a hell of a shot from Joe. Completely legal, much like Finn Baxter's torpedo against Newcastle. Love it.
That second Nick David try is... I'm just watching the highlights again on my phone while I'm talking, but it looks like the...
Tell you what, mate. One thing that highlight doesn't tell you, we had a gorgeous view in the South Stand because it was on the right-hand side of the pitch, bang in front of us. Kick comes over. Tyrone Green takes it. He's under all sorts of pressure from Jacob Stockdale. He just stops running. He stands there. He waits for Stockdale to charge him down. Just as he's about to get there, he flings it out to Marcus. Marcus goes on the hunt, starts up the field. He then finds a gap. And all of a sudden, the two-on-one with Tyrone Green's back there. And then Ty's got another two-on-one with Nick David and just puts him in. Two two-on-ones at different ends of the pitch make that try.
See, Nick David gives it the old like Danny Care right arm in the air, celebrates the crowd as well. It's good for him.
But it was so cool and so composed. The two-on-one in our own 22 and then the two-on-one down the other end of the pitch in their 22, both so important for that try. Such basic skills and we absolutely nailed it.
The Will Evans try.
Here he goes. I'm just watching Mick on Zoom now, just watching the highlights back. Will Evans, what, 50 metres?
Yeah, I mean, he picks it up.
I'm surprised he's not taking his shirt off on the way down.
The camera's behind him, but you can almost see him smiling the whole way in. Picks it up, bang on halfway. I don't know who it is chasing him, but you could just see him smiling the whole way. He gets there. No, it's not the most cultured dive you've ever seen. Then throws the ball into the sort of back of the North Stand. And then, they score in the corner at the end. But game's done and dusted. Real proper fun performance. I'm fucking glad I missed it. But
so much fun, mate. And there's something that stands out for me is that you've got Lewis Liner scoring from 80-plus metres. You've got Will Evans from about 50. You've got Nick David scoring from about 50 metres for the first try and about...
And the second.
Technically, the second one was probably from our own 22, just involving other players as well. We really can score from anywhere at any time against anybody.
And that's when you know how dangerous we are. That's when you know that if we do all the right things, like the scrum, line out... you find parity and dominance at the collision. When the game opens up a little bit and we've got the players, mate. We just look so, so good and it looks so much fun.
It was so much fun. 8 tries last week, 7 tries this week, 101 points scored across the 2 weekends.
Oh.
We had that hard fought win away at Racing. Got a bit of a benchmark of where we are against Toulouse.
How good's Europe been this year, by the way?
Yeah.
Obviously,
wins.
We got a little bit slapped up at home against Toulouse, but they are a bit of a different beast. But we've an unbelievable game at Racing, gone away to Cardiff and stuck 50 on them, and then beating Ulster at home.
beaten some good teams, and we have beaten them. We have beaten them well. I think on the face of it, I'd argue that there are actually very few teams in Europe that are actually better than us. So I think, given that there are so few teams probably better than us in Europe, we should be looking at a quarterfinal as a minimum.
Home draw or away draw on the next? What do you want?
Well, as we sit here and record this on the Saturday in real time after the game when emotions are high, we're actually going to jump back on tomorrow and actually tell you who we've got in the next round. But going in blind right now, I think we might have done enough. I think Bath away at Toulouse is a tough ask. To get four tries there is incredibly hard. And then to get a losing bonus point, I just can't see it. I think awesome. Toulouse will win, and I think they'll win well. Should we do some three-word reviews?
Yes, let's do it.
A lot of them are the same. And actually, okay. There's some really good creative ones as well. I'm going to start with my favourite creative one from Chris Phillips. Bath need to lose.
Nice. Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
Very nice. A particular favourite from Harlequin 1974. Kitshoff pants down. Very good. Liner for England is another one. Liner is back is another one. Liner's on fire is another one. Lewis Liner worldy. Long lost Lewis. Lewis is back. Lewis the thief.
Lewis the thief. Yeah, I mean, it's all very Lewis Liner heavy, isn't it? Lee Garner.
King Louis.
Lee Garner. Danny Kerstan, question mark.
It's not in doubt, surely.
Ben Player, Stephen Kitchell, who?
Yeah, Dave Anderson, signed the contract. Danny Kerr.
I like this one from Edward Grocott. The red hand mangled.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I mean, it looked like so much fun.
And then we got one from Pax as well. Andre tackling ridiculous. Wouldn't you love to see him, Muller-Pollard, next week?
This is a good one, actually. Dave Stockton, Maul defence, outstanding. And mentioned it just in that sort of first half, actually. There were two or three times where they took the ball into contact and from some of the lineouts they had. And we just managed to thwart their attack, win the ball back in you know, an important spot in the field. Nice, clean exit. Keep the ball moving down the pitch. But no, I enjoyed that. That was good. Cracking day out, Alex Williams says. Chris Phillips, please keep Collier. And then again, absolutely, Paul Edwards is right here. I think he's missed out the French accent, so I'll work on it. But it's Bath and Neil Point.
Yeah,
that's what we need for tomorrow.
Yeah, lovely. Fluent.
And do you know what? I'll leave with one more. This is from Ewan, from absolutely anywhere.
Yeah, and it's what we were just saying, right?
Yeah, so
absolutely
good.
Absolutely anywhere. That needs to be a slogan.
From absolutely
love
anywhere.
Love that. Some good three-word reviews this week. Thank you for submitting those. Right, moving on. We sit here now on Sunday night and we now know our fate. Toulouse did the job. Never in doubt, was it? It was very close at one.
Well, as I said to you yesterday, I was playing hockey, so I came off the pitch straight away and the first thing I did was go onto my phone and check what happened against Bath Toulouse. I need to know. Hopefully, did they come away with naught? Did they get a four-try bonus point? And it looked, I haven't even watched it back yet, but it looked closer than
We were
sort of assuming it was going to be.
Oh, yeah. It was 19 all for a very long time, and they were sat on three tries, and you thought they might just get the fourth, but they didn't. At that point, we knew we had a home last 16 fixture, which was absolutely massive. Huge for the club in terms of financials, huge for the club in terms of likelihood of getting a successful result. And then as the results trickled in throughout the rest of the evening, we now know that it's Glasgow that will be welcoming to the
stage. Glasgow!
Former friend in Hugh Jones will be returning up against either Will Joseph, Luke Northmore or Oscar Beard. He'll have a tough time against any of them, won't he?
It'll be fun to see him back at the Stoop. We loved Hugh Jones, didn't we?
I still love Hugh Jones. He's so good to watch.
One of the best-looking players that I've watched at the Stoop as well.
Just good vibes.
Handsome, handsome guy.
Did so well at fullback for us as well when called upon.
Yeah, do you remember that game when we played away at Irish and he bashed
Hit a lovely 50-22 as well in that one. Yeah. So,
but he also did
welcoming him back. But also, Glasgow is the majority of the Scotland team. So, post Six Nations, it'll be interesting to see how they've got on and also how they'll then apply that into Europe. They've got Tuipulotu at 12, him up against Andre is a bit of a mouthwatering clash. And then in the pack, a load of big, gnarly Scottish forwards up against our big, gnarly English forwards. So,
also, just quietly, Glasgow are third in the URC. You played 9, won 6, lost 3.
They're a good side, aren't they? But I don't know if they travel so well.
I mean, I don't know.
We'll see, won't we?
I don't watch enough of the URC to know whether some of those games are
How are you feeling about it from a Quinn's perspective then?
A, I'm delighted that we've got a home game.
Yeah.
1A, get us back to the stoop. Another game at home, another chance to, you know, put on a show in front of our home fans. And then, you know, we don't want to look, you know, I'm going to go real sort of super sporty cliche here. We're taking one game at a time. We don't want to look too far ahead. But I have double checked that when we play, once we get past Glasgow, when we go and then go and play in the next round, which we're hoping is going to be Bordeaux, it's the last weekend of my Easter holidays. So I won't be at work. So I'm hoping for a Saturday lunchtime kickoff, a Friday night in Bordeaux, a bit of wine. Down in the heart of wine country, Saturday sort of afternoon kickoff, night out in Bordeaux, Saturday night, fly back Sunday. Couldn't be more perfect.
Watch us get stung with a Sunday game now. But before any of that happens, we of course need to beat Glasgow at home. Bordeaux have Saracens at home and they absolutely thumped them the other week. So I'm sure it'll be a lot tighter this time around, and who knows what could happen when that weekend rolls around. It's still so far away. But if it's not Bordeaux away, it would be Saracens at home. And I fear the stoop might explode if we have Saracens at home in the quarterfinal of a European Cup. My word, the stands will need reinforcing for that one. So whatever happens, Glasgow is going to be great fun. If we do manage to get any further than that, we have got two incredible clashes lined up. I'm just pleased that our last 16 game isn't a repeat, because there's so many repeat fixtures. It's quite nice to play somebody new, isn't it? From a different league as well.
Yeah. I said this, I think, when we had a chat yesterday. If we did it, if rugby did something similar to the Europa League in football, where you can only play somebody from your country when you get to the last eight.
Yeah.
And I've seen Nick Mullins' tweet earlier, who put in a thing about,
we should
do the FA. Yeah.
And you could fun with it.
Well, you could do it, you know, if you finish in the top eight and you earn the right for a home semi-final, then you have one bag of home finalists, one bag of away finalists. But yeah, that'd be fun. I just don't like the repeats. I know that the Leicester fans are a bit up in arms on Twitter about having to play Leinster again, which I understand.
Yeah, completely understandable.
I've got a mate from work who's a Gloucester fan and they've got to play Castor again. So I get it. I get that frustration where you want to play different sides in Europe and you get done by them. I understand that. But also, look, lads, win your games, you can play some more people.
Isn't it?
Well,
I don't know if it is, actually, because if you do win all your games, you might end up playing somebody who was crap in your group who finished bottom anyway. So you just don't know. But I actually think the format this year has been quite good so far. Every game has mattered to the very end, which has made it a lot more engaging. And it has meant I've watched a lot more rugby than...
That's the one thing that's really good about this format. And I know it's been the same in previous years. I think maybe I've just cottoned onto it a bit more this time around. But you get to watch just like wall-to-wall rugby all weekend.
Yeah. They need to work on the knockout stage format, don't they? Because the group stage format is great. It's meant everything's worth something.
Yeah.
And now we're at a point where people can compare it to the World Cup, where you get a lot of dead rubbers in the one side of the draw and then all the good games the other side of the draw. But it's just the luck of the draw, isn't it? Sometimes that's just the nature of the beast.
Ordinarily, I wouldn't be sat at home on a Sunday night watching Exeter and Bayonne, but I was actually gripped because I wanted to know what was going to happen either way for us.
It's so true. The viewing figures must be pretty handy.
And ordinarily, I wouldn't have watched Saracens and Toulouse at home on a Saturday night. If I was at home, maybe I would, I don't know. But it meant you watched them because you think, well, we might play them. I want to know what they're like. I want to know who's playing for them. And I want to know more about them and see who we get. But yeah, it's been good fun actually. This round of Europe and this little 2 week block, two big wins, one on the road in Cardiff, been good fun.
Huge wins. And before we move on, let's have a bit of fun and look ahead to our potential roadmap.
Okay.
We've got Glasgow at home. Get through that. It's a quarter final. It's either away at Bordeaux or home to Saracens. Get through that, and you would predict it's probably going to be Toulouse away in a semi-final.
Yeah.
The other possible candidates there are Racing again, Exeter, or Bath. So a few familiar faces there. In fact, they're all familiar faces. We've played all four of them.
I'd back us to beat Bath, Exeter, and Racing. Toulouse are a little bit of a different beast.
Agree, which is why I think it'll probably end up being Toulouse there. And
but,
if they were, by some miraculous performance, able to make it past Toulouse away and get to a final, I mean... Who,
but also give me Toulouse Leinster, away.
It could
give
be La Rochelle.
The European semi-final. Give me that. That would be so much fun.
Yeah, it's why we do it, isn't it?
100%.
Yeah, that would be. I've been to 100%. Toulouse maybe two or three times for connecting trains to Lyon, to Montpellier, wherever
never
else.
Been.
And never actually faced them, but always been there. So that would be amazing.
I've not been to Bordeaux either, so that's one I'd like to tick off.
Yeah, yeah. Any French away day that I've not done yet is top of my list, without a shadow of a doubt. And we'll leave it there. Start getting excited about that. It will roll around in April time. But before then, a lot of business to do in the Prem. Let's wrap up the episode.
Leicester.
And it's an interesting one to preview this week. Who are you picking? Front row is actually quite nice. I think it's relatively straightforward. It's probably going to be a conversation about what our bench looks like this week, but it's Baxter, Walker, Collier, isn't it?
Baxter, Walker, Collier.
Lewis is tight head on the bench. You've then got Riley, Hooker on the bench. Who's your loose head? Kerrod?
Els or Kerrod. Yeah, Els has done it a couple of times this year when Marla's been out, so maybe it's Jordan Els, maybe it's Kerr, we're not sure. Second row, for me, Launchbury will come back in to start.
Yeah, Hammond as well.
Are you on the Hammond train?
No, I'm backtracking on that.
I like the Ernie train.
I'm on the Ernie train. He was brilliant today.
Yeah.
He was brilliant. But also the reason I'm going Ernie is because I'm going Hammond at six.
Ah, I didn't even think of that. That's not a bad shout. And then would you have Arthur Clark?
A couple of times.
Then are you having Clark on the bench?
I think I'd have Arthur Clark on the bench. You might not need a second row on the bench, but...
I wouldn't do that.
Because it's Tigers, I think you probably do.
I wouldn't do that just because I don't know much about Arthur Clark. I'd still want to have that insurance option of having George Hammond on the bench. So I would probably go with... I mean, Evans at seven, definitely. Chisholm at eight, definitely. Yeah. And then six, do you know what?
Maybe Archie Wright or Lorde?
Yeah, maybe White. We don't know if Lorde's fit. Do you know what? Maybe Hammond's actually not a bad shout. I think, do you know what? I've made a boo-boo here. I think you're absolutely right. I think Hammond's going to play at six, or maybe should play at six.
Yeah, I think from a line-out point of view.
Yeah. No, I like that from you.
Thanks, mate.
Good, mate. Very good. Porter, nine.
Yeah, not so worried about that. I think he's been a brilliant signing, hasn't he? It's nice that Danny can still get picked for England, and I'm confident in our nine.
Heir to the throne, Will Porter, absolutely. Yeah.
And then Max Green at 21.
Yes. Yeah, Green at 21. And then I did see Jared Evans at Cardiff. I saw him outside the ground just before kickoff. So I looked at him and said, Jev, come on, talk to me. What are you saying? And he went, a couple of weeks, mate. So,
a couple of weeks is Leicester, isn't it?
Yeah. It'd be so great if we can get him back. We're big Will Edwards fans at Pod HQ, but.
Well, Will Edwards needs to be on the bench if he's not starting anyway.
Well, that's what I mean. But
Edwards starts, who on earth do you have on the bench anyway?
I'd just love it.
Him Benson from Cambridge?
Slev, maybe.
Levin from Scottish? Who knows? No disrespect to Will Edwards, but you're up against Andre Pollard, World Cup winner, double World Cup winner, just absolute mustard.
Holly.
At least Jared Evans gets us closer.
Yeah. So Jev, I'm taking his word for it. He said a couple of weeks and I believe him. Jev,
like I said earlier as well, I would take a 9-6 win, and Jared Evans off the tee is absolutely brilliant. Do you remember when he kicked that winning goal against Bristol away?
Yeah.
Lovely.
Andre 12, Will Joseph in at 13.
Yeah. Good to see him back, by the way. He played well.
David on the right wing, Liner on the left wing, Tyrone Green, and then you'd have Lennox and another at 23.
No, I disagree. Your bench is Max Green, Will Edwards, and then I'm backing Caden Murley to be 23 this week. I think he must be close. And this game is so important, then he's got 2 months off, basically.
So if he's fit...
Even if he's...
I shouldn't say
this about player welfare, but even if he's 80% fit... I have him in the 23 shirt.
But you wouldn't throw him straight in after Liner's performance today?
No.
Yeah,
Liner has earned that shirt.
Yeah.
And B, let's not be silly, Caden's probably a 20-minute player at this point.
Yeah.
Unless, 23. We know nothing about injuries anyway, so it might be that he's fully fit, ready to go, and he does start. I don't know. But I'd quite like to see Caden in the 23 shirt. Not only that, but also, if we do get an injury at 13, I think Caden covers that, doesn't he?
I suppose, but we've had
so many injuries at 13. We're only thinking about that now. We were blessed with Marchant before, where we'd never have to worry about 13, and then it was around a time when Northmore would also be in the squad, so 13 was never a problem.
But again, we're only speculating as to Kane's health. We think he might be close, but we've got absolutely no idea.
No,
I mean, we've seen clips of him in the last couple of weeks training.
I've not seen him do any team runs before a game. Have you?
No, but I've seen him. I wasn't in the game obviously today, so I didn't see him. But I have seen clips of him in training.
Have you? And we saw Dino doing team runs before Cardiff. He must be.
Yeah. I mean, if Dino's fit for the weekend, that'll be monumental, wouldn't it? Yeah. Italy announced their squad?
Yeah, he's not in it, mate.
That'll probably be...
I wonder if that's telling, if that means he's actually not going to be around this weekend, because if he was, he'd probably be in that squad.
That is what I also believe. I think if he was fit and available, or if he was going to be fit by the time the Six Nations rolled around, Italy would have picked him. So I'd imagine he's probably on the shelf for a little bit longer.
All right, well, talk to me about Leicester then. Where do you see us winning this game? Because for me, their front row has been on roller skates in recent weeks, and they're losing a couple of front rowers. So when we've got Will Collar and Finn Baxter cooking on gas, I think we're going to get a lot of scrum penos. I would like to think we get a lot of scrum penos. And that doesn't mean just whenever there's a knock on, let's go for a scrum. Let's start to think about how we use that as a weapon a bit more, if there's any free kicks, or even taking it from a penalty in their own 22 instead of a line out. Let's start to think about that, because I think we win the game in the scrum.
I think whoever gets the best out of the back row, so they've obviously played against Leinster today, Liebenberg, Raphael.
Their back row is class, by the way. Raphael, and Visa.
Yeah, but Tommy Raphael is just a poor man's Will Evans.
He is, but he's a poor man's Will Evans is still a very good man.
And I maybe. I also quite like the Hammond at six shot more and more, because he'll be up against Liebenberg. They're sort of similar body types. You can nullify him.
Yeah.
And then we need Chisholm just to bang holes in Jasper Visa, which he's more than capable of doing.
I'll tell you what, James Chisholm, start licking your lips, son. Yeah. Up against Jasper Visa.
Big old week for Chis.
Yeah. He's always wanted to play for England, Chis. He's never had his chance. If he can bury the South African number eight and get a win for Quins, my word, that is a statement. Come on, Chis.
Yeah, massive week for him. So I'd be going, yeah, in the back row. And then if we can get Jev one-on-one with old mate Polly at 10, we need to, maybe what we might see next week, and it seems ridiculous after sort of what happened at the Stoop today, we might see a situation where we just occasionally take points.
I think we will have to. We will have to. I also look at their midfield. It's quite a heavy midfield. We've obviously got Pollard, but then they've got Kata, Kelly, two lumps. So Andre might not have as much success as he usually does. So 3 points might become quite important here and there.
Mm.
Might be a pragmatic performance from us, but at this point, I don't care. It's just about results.
Be interesting, won't it? But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. And if you look at the table, a win will keep us in second, definitely. A win would definitely keep us in second, might even elevate us to first. We're obviously on the Friday night, so we can get out ahead of the race-chasing pack. Northampton at home against Newcastle, so you'd imagine that Northampton will come away victors.
Hold fire on that one. Beware the wounded animal, now reinvigorated with Steve Diamond.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Could it be maybe the new coach bounce back? But then also, they don't lose any players. Northampton have lost 7. So that is a big banana. In the same way that we had a banana skin fixture against them away on a Friday night, which is like the early kickoff in football, we managed to navigate that pretty professionally. It's a banana skin fixture for Northampton.
It is. Are we asking too much of Pat Lam's disgraceful Bristol side to beat Bath for us down at Ashton Gate at 3 o'clock?
Bath missing quite a few key players the season they're having. I think they're losing 5. Both of their props, Ollie Lawrence in the midfield. So, and Alfie Barbary's banned, isn't he? So, who knows?
Who do you want to win, Saracens or Exeter? At Saracens.
It's a ridiculous question, isn't it? I'm never going to say I want Saracens to win.
No, maybe I didn't.
0-0.
0-0. And then Sunday's interesting, sort of. Gloucester at home to Sale. Can Gloucester be less rubbish than they've been all season and do us a favour over Sale?
They just got a massive win against Cast, so why not? Why not?
European specialists this year, Gloucester, aren't they?
Yeah, well, that's about the only thing they're specialists in.
they're like rugby's version of Seville at the minute. They're just like terrible in the league.
Always win the Europa.
Always win the Europa. Yeah, we'll see.
Right, that's where we'll leave it for this week. Thank you very much for listening, as always. Two Woods, Four Quarters, a Harlequins podcast, an award-winning podcast. First one back online after our live show last week. So much great feedback. Great to see so many people in the stadium as well. And thank you for letting us know how much you enjoyed it. We're going to be back on the horse. We're already starting to plan the next one. We march on. We march on in Europe. Job done for us. We look forward to one more huge fixture before the Six Nations break. Get behind the boys. Now is the time we need to really pump their tyres up. Come on, the Quins.
Yeah, my new Quins.